Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line. We're going to do mailbag as usual on Wednesday. So you got a voicemail, you got something to say, you got a question to ask, a story to share with us. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. The place to drop your voicemails and your text messages. Matt, welcome back from the weekend, although it doesn't necessarily feel like a weekend, just feels like one really, 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 really long day at this point that's kind of just changing from night to day without any sense of time. I messed up last week and we were kind of laughing about it. Today really, really does feel like the first day where I have absolutely no sense of time. I don't really know what date it is. I can't believe we're already through almost March. It's become disastrous. But how are you? How's your weekend?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? I hope everybody out there had a nice, safe, and relaxing weekend. Relaxing as you can be during these crazy, unpredictable times. But yeah, man, I'm with you. I feel like it's just like hard to keep days organized. It's a very disorienting feeling. It's personally, usually when I'm up here, my folks' place in Michigan, it's summertime and I'm here on vacation, just kind of escaping from everything. And instead, it's like, should be a normal work week, should be a week of, you know, reading content, providing content, and also in this just like weird lockdown quarantine thing that we're all kind of just trying to get through together. So, you know, if there is something unifying about it, it's whether it's you and me doing a podcast in different states and on the mics together, you look around and everybody else is basically doing the exact same thing. All the content from, you know, the flagship programs of ESPN on down and through regional networks and other podcasts, you know, it's business as usual. But just, you know, everybody's making do with this weird situation that we're in. But it's definitely a weird feeling.
You know who is also at a business as usual type of mentality, although we're in a global pandemic and literally there's nobody in the city of Chicago right now? Chicago parking enforcement has been a lot of fun. They decided to give me a ticket yesterday. Matt, there was literally one car besides mine on probably a mile stretch of Stenson. Stenson's where our building is in Prudential. And I've parked there now the last 2 weeks, 4 or 5 times a week. And from what I had heard, that they weren't going to ticket, they were going to kind of be pretty loose about it. Normally, I park about a half mile away and have to walk just to avoid having to touch anything, be it a parking garage, anything like that, and also avoid the price cost. But yeah, and it doesn't fail. I ended up with a $70 ticket that I will be fighting, and God knows when or if that'll be resolved. But you know, a tradition,
I mean,
like
come on.
Like any other, right?
If the meter maids would take any, I'm like, how can the city of Chicago just not tell all the meter maids to chill right now? Obviously, they have a job that they need to do. And everybody right now is scared about whether or not they can keep doing their job. People that work hourly, people that work in industries that are closed down because of this epidemic. Obviously, you want meter maids to be able to work and bring in money, as much as some of us might hate the fact that that job even exists, because to us, it just seems like a pain in the ass that disrupts our daily lives and costs us money. But, you know, in all of the ways that people are finding money to continue paying people to do jobs that don't necessarily need to be done right now, in the world of sports and otherwise, maybe just pay meter maids to not give people tickets right now.
Or you know, maybe reduce the cost of the parking. Like, I could have, I get it. I'm probably going to get some tweets. I'm the asshat that didn't pay for the parking, so I get it. And I played with that risk, but still, parking would have costed me upwards of $40 if I would have parked where I was. I was in a legal spot, too. So I could understand still ticketing people parked in bad spots, not supposed to be parking there. But, I mean, come on. Outside of businesses that are still running, like, the Prudential Center still has people going there every single day. It was just, I don't know. I guess maybe just a bad timing on a Sunday where nobody had anything to do. And I get it. They've got jobs to do as well. But still, maybe reduce your parking from $7.50 an hour on those spots to $1 an hour. Considering there's nobody in the city anyway parking, but I will, I digress. The subject, I was so pissed off.
$7.50 an hour?
$7.50 an hour in some zones. In the city right now, I think there's like green zones, and then there might be a different color coordinations for the price cost, but right now where Prudential Plaza is and most of the spots around it are $7.50 an hour.
That's preposterous. Sometimes I think I miss my car, which I had my first in Chicago. And then I am reminded in a million different ways why I don't.
I don't blame you. And I see, that's the bad thing, is the one thing I'd love to do is just, I don't have to go anywhere. I can just take a drive, and I could drive for 2 or 3 hours and be totally fine. Listen to podcasts, listen to the radio, listen to music, whatever. But yeah, I mean, the city was ridiculous without the global pandemic as far as parking went and the price cost of it. But and Spot Hero was up and out for a long time. I mean, I used to park at a place for $10, and it's not that bad compared to $40 or $50. But yeah, I digress, though, about Chicago parking. People probably feel similarly. So if you did get ticketed over the weekend or since the pandemic had started, you can tweet at me and let me know, because you probably share in the same frustration that I do. But Matt, we kind of wanted to get into, well, first, let's get to the results of Friday. If you didn't listen to Friday's episode, we had Rick Camp from 670 The Score, producer there. Big NBA fan, knows his shit about the Bulls as well. But we decided to do something fun at the back half hour of the episode, and we drafted our five Boylanisms, so our starting five Boylanisms. And I will just say this, even though it's a small sample size, I was absolutely shocked by the outcome. I got absolutely my ass kicked in terms of five starting five. So Matt, congratulations to you. You had 44.4% of the vote. It just beat out Rick Camp. How does it feel having the top five Boylanisms?
I'm honored. I'm humbled. Thank you so much to everybody who voted for me. For something completely pointless and ridiculous as this, these are the victories that I have to take in my life. You know, I'm never winning any championships of any real kind, and nobody's given me any awards of anything, nor should they. So a silly Twitter poll that's mostly just about making fun of how silly the Bulls head coach is and the stupid things he says, I will humbly accept the victory. Although, man, Rick gave me a run for my money. He was leading that poll for most of the duration that it was up, and I thought maybe he was going to run away with it for a while, but I stayed in there, and I snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, which, you know, is something that Jim Boylan knows nothing about.
Wins are always good.
Yeah, they are, Jim.
I coach by faith. The honor's the essence of the team.
I didn't expect to get spanked as bad as I did, although, again, very, very small sample size, and we've got thousands of people listening to the podcast and maybe only a fraction of them be on Twitter. We also, it's probably bad timing to put out a poll on a Friday night, although we are in the midst of a global pandemic, so what are people doing really on a Friday night? But still, yeah, we've got those out there. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that episode, or just kind of pick through the ones that you want to listen to in our memories, we kind of circumvented to the background stories on each of them as best as we could. But there were people reminding me of quotes and things Jim Boylan had said that I totally forgot about. So if you've got any of those, or you just want to drop us a voicemail of anything that we missed from that for Wednesday's episode, do that at 331-979-1369. We're going to continue on with our player evaluation season in review, and figured we would do the back end of the rotation, kind of the back end of the roster. on today's episode. So we'll cover a couple of different guys and then continue on this week with some more prevalent guys, guys that are probably going to stay around and had more of an impact this season. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys about Postmates. Postmates is the perfect app to have right now while we all have to stay home, don't want to go out to the grocery store, or maybe you just don't, you're not supposed to go out if you're in Illinois or in a handful of other states. So you want something good, you don't feel like cooking, have Postmates deliver it. If you're like me, you're probably starting to think about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food. That's why I love using Postmates. Delivery food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. So you don't have to miss out on your favorite restaurants while being quarantined at home or having to stay at home for the majority of the days. No more trips to the store, late night fast food runs. And even if you have a worry about grabbing a lunch alone, you don't have to anymore. You can order it straight from Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit, which is going to come up huge over the next few weeks. If we have to continue to stay, pretty much have a stay in home order, especially here in Illinois, this will come in handy. So again, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 off, free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmates. And they don't just deliver food. They will deliver from 7-Eleven, from CVS, from all of these other places too. So if you've got needs outside of just hunger, they will deliver it to you. So Locked On NBA for $100 of free delivery credit. All right, Matt, let's get into these player breakdowns. Who do you want to start with first? Is it the most obvious one?
I don't know. Who would that be?
That would be our boy who's been here for a while, who doesn't get a whole lot of playing time and also eats up $8 million a year, and that would be Cristiano Felicio.
Are you talking about the longest tenured bull right now, Cristiano Felicio? I forget actually, that sometimes, but that is a true fact. Tenured bull currently.
Is he the only bull on this team to have a playoff appearance in the last 5 years?
Going back
to 2015?
I don't know. Did Otto's Wizards? No.
I don't think so. And Satoransky was on that team the same time. He's only been in the league for...
Oh, Thad.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so Thaddeus Young and Cristiano Felicio have the only playoff appearances on this Bulls team in the last 5 years. Jesus. But ooh. There actually is somewhat of a conversation to be had here, because the Bulls have a decision that they can make this offseason. Do the Bulls just decide, you know what, we actually want that roster spot instead of having to continue to just pay you out? Let's come to an agreement and let's come to a buyout. Do you think that that's probably the most likely scenario for Felicio this offseason?
I mean, I don't know if they will feel the need to do that, because I don't know if they feel like it will be that beneficial to them. Obviously, and of course, like so many things, this will depend on them, you know, assumingly bringing in a new voice for the front office and making, you know, player personnel decisions and roster construction. And maybe that new person will say, okay, well, this has been fun, but we need to pay Felicio to go away, because I need that roster spot for somebody useful. It's entirely possible that that new voice in the front office insists upon doing such a thing, but I don't know. And maybe, you know, something that you and I have talked about, and I think we, you know, touched on it with Rick too on last Friday's show, the likelihood that this cap is going to go down instead of up because of the way that, you know, this pandemic has affected the league and cost lots of money as far as revenue. That the Bulls, like all other 29 teams in the league, are going to be even more cash strapped than they thought. And even before we knew, or not knew, but thought that the cap was going to go down instead of up, the Bulls looked like a team that was going to be right there coming up against the cap because of Felicio's money, because of Zach's money, obviously largely because of Otto Porter Jr. picking up his option, which we all assume will happen. But it's a pretty weak free agent class. And I don't know how determined the Bulls might be to free up a little bit of money by coming to some kind of buyout agreement with Felicio. I don't expect it to happen. I'll put it that way.
That's interesting because I'm thinking about, too, as far as the draft goes as well. And, like, how many of the guys that are on this team, that were on this team this year, will be under contract and back here again next year? I'm looking it up right now. So the only guys that were here this year that aren't guaranteed a contract for next season are Shaq Harrison, which we'll talk about in a minute. The Bulls have an option on Valentine as well. I believe they have a qualifying offer to Valentine. They have a qualifying offer they could offer to Chris Dunn as well. So I guess worst case scenario, Valentine and Dunn both walk, and so does Shaq Harrison. So you're looking at three open roster spots, but probably in reality, it's more than likely going to be two open roster spots. If you're still keeping Felicio there, you probably sign one of the three, Harrison, Valentine, or Dunn back. You do that, you have two draft picks then. You have a first-round draft pick, and you also have a second-round draft pick. Some people think that the Bulls have two this year. They don't. The other one's going to Washington. So the Bulls will get the best of the three that they... Well, I guess the best of the two between them and Memphis, but that third or that second draft pick will go to Washington from Satoransky's deal. So maybe the Bulls find a diamond in the rough in the second round, sort of like they did with Daniel Gafford, and feel that maybe we'll just, if Felicio takes $4 million to walk, maybe he'll take that and it's worth paying him off and just having the open roster spot to keep both of the guys that you drafted as opposed to having to make that decision. So I think it based a lot on the roster construction and how they feel maybe about some of the younger guys in the draft and what they do deciding to do there. But you're talking about having to let guys like Dunn or Valentine walk if that's the plan, just so you don't have to come to an eventual buyout with Felicio.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of got to the point where, you know, Bulls fans only see Felicio as a punchline and as a guy who's unusable. And I think if Boylan is gone, because they do actually bring in somebody new in the front office and actually give that person authority to bring in their own staff, maybe that increases the likelihood of that person saying, all right, well, however we need to do this, we need that roster spot for somebody useful. Because, like, that's the crazy thing about all of this is that right now, and maybe some of it is lip service, but I do still think that the people running this organization right now, including Jim Boylan, the head coach, see Felicio as useful and not useless. I mean, he's playing Felicio in some of these rotations where he has a mostly healthy roster. He's fielding questions from media because they feel the need to ask on a night when Gafford is theoretically active and Felicio is ahead of him in the rotation. Once Gafford's healthy, he jumps Felicio in the rotation, right? And Boylan doesn't even have a strict, honest answer for that. God forbid Reinsdorf's convinced whoever they bring in to keep an open mind to keeping Jim Boylan around. And Boylan comes back and Boylan finds some usefulness in Felicio. But the other more important element to it is all of the people that should be ahead of Felicio in this rotation, even assuming not a lot of roster change from this season to next, because we all now see what Gafford can do and the potential he has. Yeah, he's still raw, but he's better than Felicio by a lot. And then you have this front court, you know, pairing of Lowry and Wendell, who both once again had injury-plagued seasons, injury-shortened seasons, and neither of them really made a step forward this year. Maybe Wendell made like a tiny fraction of a step forward, but largely his offensive game was eliminated. Markkanen took a step back this year. So, you know, that has to be the focus. Maybe you want to add some complementary pieces, or maybe with Wendell, Lowry, Thad, and Gafford, you say, okay, we've got enough front court pieces and let's find a way to just, you know, get rid of Felicio.
It's a good point too. And I think there's like, anything could be better than what you have in Felicio, and the money in stricken by a contract doesn't really apply anymore because the Bulls have the option to negotiate a buyout with him. And I'm sure there's probably some scenario where if basketball comes back in the fall and Felicio, he's probably not going to it's probably a good chance he's not getting another NBA job. Maybe he goes back to Brazil and wants to play there, and he's not tied down to playing with this Bulls team, or just sitting at the end of the bench and rotting. So I don't know. Don't know his thoughts either, but for the Bulls, like you were saying, there was such a glaring need for some help with injuries to Gafford at one point, to injuries to Luke Kornet, who you brought in as insurance policy, and to your starter in Wendell Carter Jr. So you need to find a guy that can play the four and the five and sort of play that reserve role. And maybe you find that guy in the second round, sort of like you did with Daniel Gafford, and decide, hey, we got, like you were saying, we've got enough pieces here in our backcourt or in our front court, and we're good. We're good. I can't see them justifying keeping him on the roster with only having 1 year left. And I think you're going to owe him, $7.5 million. So it's actually less than you were owing him the three previous seasons just to keep him around. I mean, the Bulls have been operating with a fucking 14-man roster for the last 3 years because of him. So maybe I'm just talking myself out of it at this point. Maybe the Bulls are like, we've already been operating it for 3 years. So what's one more year and we'll have a open roster spot and not have to pay the money out right now.
Well, and I mean, the other question that Bulls fans have to ask themselves is, are you ready to lose that amazing punching bag, that amazing punchline that is Felicio?
And I mean, these guys are men.
We've gotten used to living that life where we can always just point and laugh at, you know, the Bulls walking punchline slash mascot.
Oh, God. You're right. But how quickly do those guys go away? You know, like, think about Cameron Payne for a second. And I guess Cameron Payne, is it as big of an embarrassment as Felicio has been? But you're right. I guess you would lose that punching bag. But if I'm convinced, I feel like if the Bulls are trying to play this where they felt like the third year was supposed to be their stepping stone, they were wrong. They also had a lot of injuries. They kind of want to duplicate what they were supposed to do this season, and that's be more competitive. You open up that roster spot and you don't really care about the money. And we're not sure what's going to happen with the cap. I'm assuming it's going to go down. Just don't know how much it's going to go down by. But yeah, that would be, instead of having to decide whether you're going to lose Dunn or Valentine just because of roster space, or deciding that you're going to sign your second round pick to a two-way contract instead of putting him on the actual roster, I would rather just see them buy him out. So I think that there's a decent chance. I would put it probably at like a 60 or 70% chance. They have discussions and probably buy him out before we see basketball next season.
Okay. Can we stop talking about Felicio now?
Yes, we can.
Kill myself?
I promise this will probably be the last time in non-joking ways that we talk about Felicio in any semi-serious conversation, probably the next 3 or 4 months, unless he's bought out by then. But yeah, let's move on. Let's go to Adam Akoka really quick. The few times that we got to see him seemed like a pretty damn good defender. I was telling you about a month ago, I heard him on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he got praised for about 8 to 10 minutes just about the way he guarded Luka Doncic, the way he was able to shut him down. And again, that could probably just be a March game where Luka didn't have Kristaps Porzingis either, and they were coming off of back-to-back. But still, we saw some flashes of pretty decent defender. Do you think he comes back on a second year two-way, or do you think the Bulls are more serious about maybe putting him on the roster?
I don't know if Adam Makoka is what the Bulls see as a solver of a problem with roster depth, then oh dear God. But he might be a cheap, reasonable option, much like Shaq Harrison was this year. And, you know, for whatever reason, Archie was ahead of Shaq in the rotation, despite I think it should have been the other way around. But even still, especially when there were some injury issues, Shaq got a lot of run. I mean, he's averaging, I think, just like over 11 minutes per game this season in 43 appearances. So nothing crazy, but because he actually averaged close to like 20 minutes per game in the 73 games he played last year. Dear God, last year was brutal. But as far as Makoka, I've seen a lot of Bulls fans really hyped about him and like throwing the Jimmy Butler comparisons out there. I don't know why, other than he seems to be a defense first player who maybe bears some passing resemblance to Jimmy Butler as far as like features and body type. But to me, I think those comps are going way too far, because even when Jimmy was a young player, and a defense first young player, we didn't know what he was going to turn into. And I guess you could say that we don't know what Makoka is going to turn into right now. But I mean, I would say if you want to use one of the two way spots on him again next year, go for it. Do I think the Bulls should prioritize putting him into one of their actual like full 15 roster spots? I'm sorry, I just didn't see enough from him to believe that that should be a priority.
I'm with you on that. And, you know, just looking at the amount of money the Bulls are going to have to spend, which isn't all that much, considering you're going to have to bring Otto Porter back, you're going to have decisions on Dunn, you're going to have decisions on Valentine to make. I would like to see another year in the G League maybe to develop. And it's hard to talk about a guy that's going to be 22 already and thinking where where the front office has told us they feel like the rebuild's at a point where they need to take another step. We were told that this year. If we're following on the same guidelines that the front office is telling us, Adam Akoka is taking a step backwards when you're adding him to the roster because you're hoping he develops with some game time and actual NBA play. I don't want to see that either. I mean, like you said, there's probably a handful of other options that would be more beneficial to the Bulls right away than would be on a project in Adam Akoka. Look, I'm not saying he doesn't have skill either. The flashes that we did see might bring some potential, but this isn't. I don't feel like this Bulls team is the place to kind of do that. So I would like to see him back on a two-way contract, and maybe they sign their second-round pick too if they decide to keep it to a second round or to a two-way contract again, or they bring back Max Strus after he tore his ACL and see what happens there. So yeah, I don't know. They got some options, I guess.
The other crazy thing to me with Makoka is, and you know, we can give him credit for this being a highlight, but do we remember that game against the Pelicans when the Bulls are down big? It was early February. The Bulls, you know, trailed big most of the game, double-digit deficit. They were down 20, I think, 20-some points in the fourth quarter. Makoka comes in for some garbage time. He plays just over 5 minutes and scores a tear of 15 points in those 5 minutes on a perfect 6 of 6 from the field. And this was a home game at the United Center, and the dude got MVP chance. He's like, he's making these buckets. He's scoring in transition on fast breaks. He's knocking down shots. And the UC crowd is about as into the game and as loud as they have been all season long.
He's not
for a dude on a two-way contract, putting up 15 points in garbage time. To me, that is one of the quintessential, you know, season in a, you know, in a snapshot kind of moments from this year. That is how low this season was. That
we got Bulls across our chest
for the fans.
It's fucked up. There's no other good way to put it. It's fucked up. I mean,
I was sitting there watching the game at NBC with Big Dave and John, and we were losing our minds. We were like, "Oh my god, it's the Makoka game!" It was like, "Yeah, we're about to lose to the freaking Pelicans in a game that we trailed most of the game by 20."
God, if I told my grandfather that, he'd be rolling over in his grave right now. You know, he would, oh my God. So far, far from the days of MJ and Scotty and... I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm actually kind of embarrassed that happened. I remember coming on here the day after and you and I just kind of screamed about it because we were so pissed off. You know, we went from, holy shit, this is like the most exciting thing that's happened to this team all year to... holy shit, we're cheering MVP chance at home for a guy in the G League, for a two-way player, after getting our ass handed to us all game. It's just, I don't know. And that's no offense to Adam Makoka. Yeah. He had a nice year in the G League.
No. 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that was in the midst of a 9-game losing streak, which I think was probably a season high for the Bulls. I mean, yeah, that was loss 4 of a 9-game losing
streak. Jesus.
But yeah, let's give Makoka some MVP chance.
He's a baller. He balls.
He's a hooper. He's a baller.
He's not nut.
All right, let's talk about the last guy, which I really, really hope that they decide to bring him back. And that's Shaq Harrison. I advocated for Shaq Harrison last year all year. And I know you and I, we both felt the same way about Shaq. I don't know if you feel about the same way about him this year because we didn't get as much of an opportunity to see him until late in the season as we did last year. But man, the dude plays hard as hell. He's super quick on the floor. He's got great defensive hands. If he could just develop some type of consistent shot, and I know at this time last year, I could probably pull a quote of me saying those exact same words, but he's the type of guy that would be a great 12th, 13th, 14th piece on a playoff type of bench. And if the Bulls don't sign him, he's going to go somewhere else. I think he's shown enough in the last 2 years, coming from the G League, getting cut by the Suns, having an opportunity to play, and then this year having an opportunity to play when he got a shot. If the Bulls don't sign him back as a reserve guard, somebody else is going to. But I like Shaq Harrison as a player. I think he plays his ass off, and just wish he was a little bit better at shooting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were kind of at this spot last year, like you said. We know what Shaq Harrison can do, and we know the weaknesses to his game. And I think the Bulls got a good deal on what they paid Shaq Harrison this year on that non-guaranteed contract, which was not much. And, you know, we were having a conversation last offseason about, okay, they're probably going to keep one of Archie or Shaq Harrison because they can do certain similar things, and so who do they keep? And they ended up keeping both of them, but Archie on a longer, more, you know, valuable guaranteed deal of $3 million per over 3 years on a 9-year deal, and Shaq they put on just a non-guaranteed deal. When you look at where they ended up, Archie and Shaq, because I think that's where you should still, you know, talk about Shaq's future with this team, because obviously Jim Boylan loves Archie, and he loves Shaq too, but you know, Shaq is the teacher's pet. Archie is the teacher's son and getting that special treatment, because it seemed like all season long, Archie, when available, was ahead of Shaq in the rotation. More of a traditional point guard than Shaq Harrison has ever been, but I don't know that that was necessarily why Jim put him there. And I don't believe that it was necessarily the right call, because Shaq is, in my opinion, more versatile on the defensive end. He can guard more positions and cover more ground. I know, you know, Jim loves the grittiness of Arch taking charges, and we had to listen to a Boylan, you know, soliloquy about how much he loves Archie guarding Giannis in a Bulls loss to the Bucks at some point this season. But I mean, The one big weakness to Shaq's game, as you mentioned, was he doesn't have much of an outside shot. So for playing, you know, either of the guard spots or the wing, he's not super useful in that regard. Well, guess what? This season, Shaq shot 38% from downtown. You know what Archie shot? 39. One percentage point better. And yeah, maybe Arch is a bit better of a distributor, but man, Shaq's activity off the ball, Shaq's activity in transition, to me, he checks more boxes than Archie does.
Here's a comp I got for you. Instead of having to comp between Archie and Shaq, first let me back up real quick. I know you cheated already, so I guess I would have our listeners listen to this for a second. What position do you think Basketball Reference has Shaq Harrison listed as this season? It's the fucking small forward position.
Small forward? Okay, yeah.
He's a small forward.
His default listing is point guard, but he's never really been a point guard in the NBA.
So I know Basketball Reference probably had to grab a certain amount of games where he played there in order to qualify him as that, but what about, instead of thinking about Archie in a respect of having to fight for a spot playing the one or the two, maybe Shaq Harrison takes the spot of Valentine instead? Because Valentine was kind of that tweener. He was the guy that was playing either the two or the three in some lineups. We know what Jim Boylan feels about Denzel. Probably not going to come back if Jim Boylan's still here next season. And Shaq might be a cheaper option if you're looking for a guy that's going to back up Chandler Hutchison and Otto Porter Jr. or back up Kobe White and Zach LaVine at the two. Maybe he's the option. Maybe that's the guy that they signed back. And I know it's kind of wild to think about your lottery pick that you spent you spend all this time and this money and this energy and effort to try and build up as a decent rotation piece seems to be a guy that's going to probably walk this summer. So I'm just looking at their numbers compared. You know, you had mentioned Shaq's 3-point percentage and it was 38.1%. Very small sample size, I guess, too. 16 for 42 this season from three. So he didn't take all that many threes. But I'm just looking at the time that Denzel Valentine actually got a chance to play. He was 46 for 137 from three, 33.6%. And he shot 40.1% from the field overall. Scored about the same points that Shaq did. But definitely a lower field goal percentage than Shaq had. So I don't know. Maybe you don't want to pay Denzel Valentine the $4.8 million in the qualifying offer, or maybe he rejects it. And then you have a decision to make of how you're going to find a reserve to kind of play that spot at the two and the three. So maybe that's the guy over Valentine.
I mean, that certainly is a good point to kind of find out where the comparison of his availability, his usefulness on the floor as far as his position and the percentages of what amount of time he spent playing specific positions. As far as maybe being a cheaper alternative to keeping Valentine around, who, you know, as a lottery pick player, his qualifying offer, it's not, you know, it won't be astronomical, but it won't be super cheap, is once again, and again, like so many factors that we just don't know about right now, who is calling the shots about player personnel? Because if a new front office member comes in, a new GM or a new VP, and they bring in their own people, including their own head coach, and Jim Boylan gets the boot, then maybe the likelihood of Denzel Valentine sticking around and the Bulls offering him a modest contract extension from that rookie deal is more likely than it is when Jim Boylan is calling the shots and has Denzel Valentine stuck in his doghouse. Because really, Shaq Harrison, plenty of times this season, was ahead of Denzel in the rotation. So it's not like he could take Denzel's minutes to make much of a difference compared to what he did this season when he was already taking some of those, you know, wing minutes that Denzel could have taken but didn't. But if there's a new head coach, and the new head coach and the new member of the front office both see the value of Denzel as not only a three-point shooter, but an underrated passer, a guy who's really strong in transition. Yeah, he has his defensive flaws, but who doesn't in the NBA at this point? They might see Valentine as a more valuable piece than a, you know, hustle, defensive, versatile guy like Shaq. Now, I could see where they keep both of those guys, but don't discount the possibility of Denzel staying around because the guy who hates Denzel, Jim Boylan, is gone.
It's a valid point. And, you know, yeah, I have to try to keep that in the back of my head too, as well as like new ownership could just boot Jim Boylan, not new ownership, new management could boot Jim Boylan and say, no, we want to keep this guy around. And you know what? We want to keep Shaq Harrison around too. Another, the reason why I kind of went to Denzel as opposed to Shaq outside of just the position is because Ryan Arcidiacono is under contract still. I mean, he's going to be under contract. He's owed $3 million this upcoming season. He's owed $3 million after that season. So he's still here unless the Bulls decide to deal him, which I don't even, I mean, we could talk about that later when we talk about Archie. But yeah, as far as like need right now and where you need to spend your money and where you feel like it's necessary, it may come down to Valentine and Shaq if things sort of stay similar or depending on who you bring in, they still are listening to a lot of the guys in the front office and keep Jim Boylan around. We may see Denzel Valentine walk and them keep Harrison. But there are, I think there are definitely scenarios where you bring both of those guys back, or at least the Bulls in their minds feel like it's necessary to bring both of those guys back. But Shaq, remember, Shaq Harrison's 26. He's going to be 27 when the season starts. Yeah, well, but you see, he'll be a month into the season when it starts season.
Yeah, has only been around since the 17-18 season, but was 24 already in his first NBA season, so...
Missed this too. Real quick before we get out of here, speaking of Denzel Valentine, he did donate $10,000 to Lansing Food Bank. So that is a sizable donation and one of the latest of NBA players trying to help out. That happened on March 24th, so that was a week from yesterday. So good on Denzel for helping out, and I'm sure we'll see some other Bulls players try to do some stuff in the community as well, and hopefully that stuff gets publicized. I know some of those guys like to kind of do it behind the scenes, not not get any recognition for it, but hopefully people scrounge and we'll do our best we can to try to expose all those guys doing good things and doing positive things for our community while the pandemic is going on. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. It's always funny, man. You and I always sit here and say, well, I think this is probably going to be a short episode. Probably going to be 20 minutes or 22 or 25 minutes, and we end up going 40. So we talked about the back end of the roster later in the week. We'll get into some more players. I think we're going to do Daniel Gafford at some point this week and a couple other players, as well as mailbag and whatever else we decide to come up with. So if you got a question for us, maybe you got a thought about any of the player reviews that we did and want to chime in on your opinion, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us too, at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Try to stay sane. And if you missed our episode on Friday, go back and listen to that. Thanks to our sponsor in Postmates. Remember, use Locked On NBA for $100 towards free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So download the Postmates app. Use our promo code Locked On NBA. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. We are out of here. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com